Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat Chanukah, December 12, 2015, 30 Kislev, 5776, Miketz, Genesis 41:1 through 44:17, Haftarah, Zechariah 4:1-7, Rosh Chodesh begins at sunset, Devar Torah, Joseph the Educator, by Rabbi Edwin C. Goldberg. In this week's Torah portion, Miketz, Joseph, now the Viceroy of Egypt, receives a visit from his brothers, who seek relief from the famine in Canaan. While Joseph recognizes them, they don't realize that he is the brother they kidnapped and sold into slavery. This makes sense. They expected him to have died as a poor slave in Egypt long before. There is no reason for them to suspect that the Egyptian VIP who confronts them, speaking through an interpreter, is long-lost Joseph. Joseph could kill them when he recognizes them. He could embrace them, forgiving them and consoling them to feel no guilt. He does neither. Instead, anticipating King David and later Hamlet, he puts on an act. In his case, he pretends to suspect them of being spies. He imprisons them. Then he lets them leave and return to Canaan, keeping Simon as a hostage of sorts. He tells them not to come back without their youngest brother, Benjamin. Why does Joseph behave this way? Is it to exact vengeance on his brothers? To manipulate reality in such a way that his boyhood dreams will come true and all of his brothers will bow down to him? I think not. I believe Joseph is teaching his brothers, and by extension us, that repentance happens not when you confess or say you are sorry. Repentance occurs when you are confronted with the same temptation and refuse to do the same thing. The medieval sage, Moses Maimonides, claimed this as the mark of true repentance. In The Natural, the great 20th century American writer Bernard Malamud shows us a character who makes the opposite choice. The book tells about the baseball player Roy Hobbs, who makes a mistake early in his career and pays dearly for it. Unlike the movie of the same name with Robert Redford, the book ends on a sad note, confronted with a similar dilemma years later. After climbing his way back to the top, Hobbs does the same thing yet again. It is understandable why Hollywood would change the ending. Joseph knows that his brothers can only repent of their transgression against him by changing their course of action when confronted with a similar choice, and he needs a stand-in for himself because he is no longer vulnerable to their machinations. Benjamin is the stand-in. Through a series of manipulations, culminating in next week's Torah portion, Joseph sets up a scene by which his brothers can return to Canaan well-provisioned with only this price. They must leave Benjamin behind. At this point in the story, Judah, the fourth eldest son, but a clear leader, steps up and announces that he cannot allow Benjamin to be taken away from his family. Judah declares that he will go into slavery in lieu of Benjamin. This is all that Joseph needs to hear. He clears the room and sheds some personal tears. He reveals himself to his brothers. Just like Willy Wonka, who discloses that Charlie has passed the test and inherited the chocolate factory, Joseph explains that the test is over and the brothers have passed. Joseph tests his brothers, but he also teaches them a way back from the abyss. It is no coincidence that the editors of the new Reform High Holiday prayer book, Mishkan HaNefesh, chose to include a Torah reading from the Joseph story for Yom Kippur. It is not only because, according to ancient Jewish tradition, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers on Yom Kippur, it is also because the lesson of Joseph is essential to Yom Kippur. We can change our ways. It begins with confession and sorrow, but it ends with changing our behavior. To quote Maimonides, those who meet the same challenge but do the right thing, their repentance is complete. It is no accident, then, that we are named Jews after Judah. He was the brother who stepped up and passed the test. He proved that his character had deepened and he would now make the right choice. Interestingly, it was a woman, Tamar, back in chapter 38 of Genesis, who taught him the meaning of integrity after he lied to her about her future with his son. At one point in the narrative, realizing his mistakes, Judah declared that Tamar is more righteous than I. Ironically, this recognition has resonance later on in the rabbinic term of adulation for his younger, testing brother. Joseph the Righteous will be his name. Righteousness leads to righteousness. Tamar's integrity influences Judah's. Judah's bow jest enables Joseph to forgive his brothers. This happy tale hinges, however, on the test of Joseph. His actions may appear cruel, but they are by design, and they enable the family, and by extension, the Jewish people, to move forward. I once heard about a teacher who gave a quiz with the following instructions. I'm giving you two tests today, one in trigonometry and one in honesty. I hope you pass both of them, but if you pass only one, be sure it's the test in honesty, because there are a lot of good people who don't know any trigonometry, but there are no good people who are not honest. Life tests us all. The question is not whether or not we will fail. We will. The question is whether or not we will learn from our failures and change. Judah shows us the way. Rabbi Edwin C. Goldberg is the senior rabbi of Temple Shalom in Chicago, Illinois. He is the coordinating editor of the new High Holiday Prayer Book, Mishkan HaNefesh. He has a doctorate in Hebrew Letters from Hebrew Union College, Jewish Institute of Religion, and has published 5 books, most recently, Love Tales from the Talmud and Saying No and Letting Go, Jewish Wisdom on Making Room for What Matters Most.